Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you're out across America, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have this right now on the line from back east, Virginia, or just there around Washington, D.C., Mr. Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on. And Tom's going to bring us up to date on all of these programs that are being put in place aimed at limiting our freedom and the sovereignty of our nation. Tom, thank you so much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, how you doing?
I'm doing just well. And, of course, we're real pleased to have you with us today. Well, what are the big issues back there in Washington, D.C. right now?
What are the big issues?
Sure.
The main thing is that we're working on right now is the Community Character Act, S-975, which the Senate tried to push through behind the scenes without anybody knowing about it. And you know, this is what we call national zoning, sustainable development, the whole nine yards with that.
You mean, in other words, you give the federal government control over all property and property development?
That literally is how it would come down. Of course, they don't say it that way. What this calls for is local communities to update their local zoning laws, and they would get a huge grant from the federal government to do it. And the string that comes attached to that is that they have to do it according to federal standards. And what that literally means then is that the federal government dictates from top down what happens in a local community, and your local, your vote for your local county commissioner or for your city councilman literally ends up being for nothing, because these people who are in those positions will have to follow these federal guidelines, and they'll basically join arm in arm in a partnership, willingly or not, with the local Sierra Club and an Audubon Society representatives who paid their membership dues to get that kind of power. Well, you and I have lost our vote.
So, and I think people have to understand there is an organized, orchestrated plan to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. And then, as Thomas Jefferson said so well, once all power is localized in Washington, D.C., we will have a government as venal as that we've just separated ourselves from. But there is a plan. There is an organized effort, and they try to sneak these things through. And once they're through, it's sort of like changing the course of a liner, you know, out in the middle of the ocean. You just can't change it. It's usually headed in one direction. It's very difficult to change as it's headed towards the iceberg.
Well, what a lot of Americans simply do not understand is that sustainable development, which sounds like a very innocent kind of thing, well, we just want to preserve our resources and so forth for future generations, and it's just an environmental program, a lot of people think. Neither one of those things is true. Sustainable development literally is a specific ruling principle that's been created to decide proper societal conduct for every citizen. And, I mean, this thing involves itself in everything we eat, what we wear, the kind of home we live in, how we get to work, whether we have a car or not, disposal of waste, the number of children we can have. All of these kind of things are involved in sustainable development, and because it includes what they call social equity, which has nothing to do with environment. It has to do with every social welfare program we've ever fought. The economy, dictating to businesses how they can produce products, what products they can produce, and the environment, which is really just the issue to sucker you into it, because everybody likes the environment.
And I think that people have to really realize that there are evil and wicked men who want to control everything. And I think behind that, you have to recognize that there are spiritual forces motivating them. Now, a lot of what Tom is talking about is contained in a document that's put out by the Cambridge University Press. It's called the Global Biodiversity Assessments. It's 1,140 pages because they know nobody's ever going to read it. But they talk about everything that Tom's been talking about. They're going to control agriculture. They're going to control the roadways. They're going to control the automobile. And really, my feeling as I read this, Tom, is that they really want to destroy Western civilization. They aren't trying to improve our lot. They're trying to take us back to some ancient time in the past, where you'll have feudal lords and then a lot of serfs.
Absolutely true. And they say openly that they want to rewild the United States back to the way it was before Christopher Columbus stepped on our shores. I mean, that's insane. And they want to literally excuse or forget everything that has happened since then. And I believe that sustainable development is literally anti-science, it's anti-knowledge, it's anti-human, it's anti-reason, and it's a creed of mindless savages that want to turn back everything that thinking men have created and put it back into a wilderness that they themselves couldn't survive in.
Now, you have some excellent material on that, don't you? How can people get in touch with your ministry?
They can do it a couple ways. Our website is simply AmericanPolicy.org, www.AmericanPolicy, all one word, .org. Or they can give us a call. We're in Warrenton, Virginia. And our phone number here is 540-341-8911. And if they give us a call, we'll send out a free sample of the DeWeese Report and any other information that they ask for.
And Tom really has some excellent material. We feel very comfortable certainly recommending it to you. And really, you know, if you say, this whole thing sounds crazy, nothing could be like that. Well, why do you think that they have blocked, putting roads into the forest, which is directly responsible for the massive forest fires there? Because they don't want people in the forest. They want them to burn, and then they'll come back, you know, in 100 years and be like they were before. And you say, that's madness. But not if you look at it from their point of view. Really, these people look at things from an entirely different point of view, don't you think, Tom?
Oh, absolutely they do. They, to a great number of them, and there's lots of levels of the people who are doing this. You've got the front-line activists who look at this as a religion.
All right, we're going to have
to get money from it.
We're going to have to break a little quick break, and then we'll be right back here with Tom. But this is the time I certainly want to mention some of the products we carry, and we carry something called Phenopoly. And if you have children in a government school, or grandchildren, or anybody you care about, they are not being taught to read phonetically. And as a result, they can't spell, they can't pronounce words, they have difficulty, they stammer when they're reading something off the written page. Phenopoly is a board game. In 16 to 20 hours, you can reverse all the harm that has been done by the wicked people in the schools who have intentionally dumbed down your children. Now, there are a lot of good teachers there, but they're not allowed to teach phonics, or many of them don't even know. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And as for the Phenopoly set, most of these programs to teach children to read are $300 or $400. This is $139.95, and we throw in a couple of extra books. And then, of course, we hope many of you will decide right now that you'll change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. Now, the nice thing about Promise Vision, if you've ever tried to call AT&T or MCI, just try it, just for the fun of it, and that you get on this merry-go-round, you can never talk to a human being. Well, you call 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631, and change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. The rates are very, very competitive, and, of course, 15% of your long-distance costs will come back to help finance what we do here at Radio Liberty 5 hours a day. Again, the number is 866-448-5631, and my wife called the other day for something, and, of course, she said it was so nice to have the person say, and God bless you.
book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, In Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insights into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center. We're talking about, of course, some of the efforts that they have in Washington, D.C. to sneak this legislation through. And while you're so concerned about the terrorist threats, and they keep talking about those over and over and over again, and the threat of dirty bombs. How many dirty bombs have ever been set off in the world? Can you name me 100 or 50 or 5 or even one? And, of course, this is totally impractical. I mean, you can talk it all you want to, but if you're going to get enough radiation wrapped around some explosives, it's going to kill you in all probability. This is a totally impractical form of nuclear attack, and it is being done to frighten you to death. And, of course, we have this Padilla that we put in prison, and they won't tell us what they have on him or how this whole thing came about. But they've established the president, of course, although he's an American citizen. He does not have a right to habeas corpus or a trial or to meet his accusers or even to know what evidence they have against him. They're just going to put him in a military facility, and he'll stay there until the end of the war, and they've already said this war could last 50 years. If they can do it to him, and of course everybody doesn't like Padilla, after all, he's from a foreign country, even though he's an American citizen. He's been in and out of jail and converted to the Muslim religion, but he's still an American citizen. If they can take away his rights, ladies and gentlemen, they can take away your rights in the name of fighting terrorism, but that's another story. Anyway, Tommy, as you, when we talked, you talked to people back there in Washington, D.C., do they understand what this whole sustainable development is about and what motivates these people who are embracing this totally destructive philosophy?
This is the thing that concerns me the most, Dan. Members of Congress, their staffs, even leaders of other organizations, conservative movement organizations that ought to be major advocates of property rights, literally do not understand this, and they are going along with these policies. Sustainable development is rarely mentioned, if ever, in the meetings and conferences and so forth of people who ought to be our major advocates. I've made it my mission to make sure that it is, because I've sat in these meetings and listened to them talk about limited government and the policies that we're putting forth to limit the government, and they don't even know what sustainable development is, and I just laugh at them. I say, you haven't got a prayer of stopping or creating a limited government if you don't know what sustainable development is. While you're sitting here talking about individual issues of taxes and these sorts of things, these people are happily moving forward, taking people's property and installing a system in every single community in this country that dictates to local elected representatives how they will develop their communities. And you're going to get limited government. How? There isn't any room here for private property, and there isn't any room here for free enterprise. Now, what's left to give you that limited government? It doesn't exist.
And, of course, if you take away property rights, you take away life and liberty as well. And what most people don't understand is that this whole thing was written as part of the Second Earth Summit, a meeting in Rio in 1992. And the man who headed that is Maurice Strong, who is a very close friend of Mikhail Gorbachev's. In fact, he and Mikhail Gorbachev, with the help of Stephen Rockefeller, wrote the Earth Charter, which will replace the Ten Commandments. In fact, they even have a special ark for it. The difficulty is, Tom, when you tell people this, their eyes glaze over, because they figure it couldn't be true if it were that Barbara Walters would have told us long ago.
That and our elected leaders would be taking care of it for us. I'm just stymied by the amount of ignorance on Capitol Hill. I mean, there are those who obviously are part of this and are moving forward and are helping to promote it. There are other ones who are just plain ignorant of it. They've succeeded in changing the language so that we don't really, they're using words right in front of us, but that have different meanings. And in our local newspaper here, we're now in a very small town here in Warrenton, Virginia, and smart growth and controlled growth is very much a policy here because we are just outside the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. People are terrified that all that nasty growth is going to come here, and they're doing everything they can to stop it. And so you read the local newspaper, and anybody who proposes building a home or a business or anything like that is now met by all of these people who want to preserve a way of life. But the trouble is that they're not preserving a way of life. They are just dictating to other people. They're giving more power to the government to dictate how people can use their private property. And as long as that mindset is in place, that people believe they have a right to tell someone else how to, control their own property, then whether it's a homeowners association or it's sustainable development or Agenda 21 out of the United Nations, it's all the same. It's just in varying degrees. Until we can change that mindset, people to respect other people's rights to control their own property and live their lives as they choose, then we are only condoning the government to do more and more of this.
I think people don't understand that if you are willing to take away somebody else's property rights so that things will be done your way, what right do you have to complain when they take away your property rights? Freedom is one ball of wax. You can't limit one person's right and preserve your own freedom, but they don't understand that. I mean, this is the most incredible thing. You go to the Planning Commission and people are there and they're talking, oh, we can't let them develop that. What about the traffic problem? Or what about the flowers? Or what about the trees? Or what about the noise? Or they always have an excuse. But what they really want to do is take away somebody else's property rights so they can do what they want to without realizing that by limiting their neighbor, they limit themselves eventually.
I ran into a very interesting situation with this few weeks ago when I was in Hinton, West Virginia, where the National Park Service and the Department of Transportation is moving to take the property of 84 families down there in the name of building a parkway, a scenic parkway, to create a view shed. And as I went in to meet with a lot of the homeowners there, one of the people I was introduced to was a fellow who very proudly told me that back in the 70s, he had led the effort to turn the New River there in West Virginia into a national river. And he was very proud of that fact. And he said the reason he did it was so they could keep others from developing the land. So he could control how other people dealt with their private property. Now, because he did that, He started the ball rolling that today he is in danger of losing his property to the National Park Service because of that designation. I looked him square in the face and I said, then you are the root of the problem. And he didn't like that one bit, but now it wasn't in his plan to lose his property. He just wanted to make sure that everyone else couldn't do with their property what they wanted to do because he didn't want it that way.
You know, over in San Jose, just across the hills from where I live, they have a redevelopment area. They're talking about taking 6,500 homes there and just taking them away from the people, giving them some money, and they're going to put in a park or a development or, 6,500 homes. And I don't know how many people will be displaced. And this is all part of this planned growth sort of affair. And people say, well, it couldn't happen here. Why couldn't it happen here? There is a master plan. What is Agenda 21? How does this fit into the whole thing, Tom?
Well, Agenda 21 is pretty much the blueprint for the whole thing. As you said, it was one of the two main treaties that came out of the 1992 Earth Summit. And it details the UN's vision of completely managed societies dictating the process to be used for industry, agriculture, housing development, even education curriculum in the classrooms. I've got documents, I'm sure you have too, where they outline exactly how communities should be developed, how a home should be built. They are talking about using rails systems for transportation, getting rid of cars, and literally turning a lot of communities into the equivalent of a Chinese agrarian village where everybody grows their own food. There's nothing imported. And of course, there's no beef. That is not sustainable. The things that they say are not sustainable is an astounding list. Suburban housing, air conditioning, cars, these kind of things that we live with daily, convenience foods. And of course, now with the major attack that has started concerning obesity, which the tobacco lawyers are using the same blueprint they used to destroy the tobacco industry, are now turning it on the food industry, saying restaurants are serving too large of portions. That's making people fat. On and on and on like this. This is all part of that sustainable agenda that dictates what we eat and how we live changes our way of life, and what they want to do is tax sodas and snacks and things like that. That's all part of the sustainable development plan under the equity. You tax them and use that money to for social welfare programs.
All right, we're going to have to just take a quick break. We'll be right back here with Tom DeWeese. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we certainly want to remind you that we actually carry a very unusual syllabus. It's called Sustainable Development. And here you'll actually read their plans. You'll read a summary of this 1,142-page monstrosity, and you'll actually read that they say that food shortages are better than the food abundance. And you can get the 1,142 pages one, but you can actually read our summary. You can get a copy of Agenda 21 from us. But you need to understand what this is all about. Now, in the Sustainable Development Syllabus, you get the summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment. You get the Earth Charter, you get the United Nations plan for using water to control you, you get the writings of Barbara Marx Hubbard, who is a Luciferian, you get the writings of Marie Strong, whose wife is a witch, you learn about the Georgia Guidestones, the mysterious emblems, the mysterious monuments that are down there in Georgia, and so much more. And it's all in the Sustainable Development Syllabus. There's nothing really like it. Or you can get a copy of the Santa Cruz Agenda 21 directly from us. And that's the Santa Cruz Agenda 21. You can get our 4-tape set on sustainable development. You can get our video on sustainable development. But get the information. Get the documents. Show them to others while we still can. Because once freedom is lost, it will never, never, never again be regained. Our telephone number is 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. And don't forget, we carry Miracle 2 soap products. We make no guarantees on them. We just tell you it's excellent soap, and many of our listeners really are very pleased by it, with them. And, of course, we have so many repeat customers, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR if you'd like more information on Miracle 2 soap products, or if you'd like to order an introductory packet.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago. And it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the 4-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center. And, of course, you can go to his website, AmericanPolicy.org, or you can call him at 540-341-8911. That's 540-341-8911. And we recommend his material. It's excellent. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, you agree or disagree, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. In Russia, in communist China, in communist Cuba, in communist Vietnam, in communist North Korea, they have exactly the same program, the same system of centralized planning. So why are we accepting it here in America? Why? Because the average congressman in Washington, D.C. doesn't understand. There are a few who do. There are a few who understand exactly what this is about. It's just simply that the average individual has no idea. And that's why it's up to you to get informed and then start writing to your congressman and calling your congressman. Believe me, they do listen to the calls, don't they, Tom?
They certainly do. They take numbers. They may not agree with you, but they know that if the counts are coming in strongly in one direction, then there's something they better listen to, and they do that.
All right. We've got Bart calling in from Carmel. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. And Tom, thank you very much for the service you do for our country.
Thank you.
I've been following two cases with great interest. One you mentioned already, which was the people who are about to lose their homes due to this Viewshed business. And the other, it may have been resolved already one way or the other, I'm not sure. It involved the Quaker families in the state of Ohio who lives along, I believe it's called the Green River, who were... they were coming under attack from the National Park Service also, who wanted to confiscate land that these families had owned for 200 years and farmed, and in an environmentally friendly way. The Quakers are very gentle on the land, and they were about to lose their land, and a large scale public awareness protest began on their behalf, and I don't know what the outcome of that is. And I guess my most significant question would be, in the Viewshed issue, what is the current status of that, and what is the likely outcome of it, sir?
Well, the current status in Hinton, West Virginia, on the New River, when I was down there at the beginning of May, they were holding a public meeting to basically announce what their decision had been. The homeowners had caused a lot of protest 2 years ago when they first announced it, so they went supposedly back to the drawing board. They came back with a new line of rhetoric that they had listened to the people and that they were no longer going to do the Viewshed, and all they wanted was just enough land to actually put the pavement down. The existing road was already there, so not very much new land would have to be taken. That's the line they're giving. I stood right in front of the representative of the Department of Transportation, who was a professional facilitator, who smiled at everyone and assured everyone, quote, "We have no intention of taking this land." They said it over and over and over again, that nobody was going to lose their land because we had no intention. What they left out was the memorandum of understanding that they had signed with the National Park Service that said once the highway was built, the National Park Service would then take over running it and the land there, and it's the Park Service that has said, we are going to take not only all the private property here, but we're going to get every business, too, to install this Viewshed. And the people were swallowing this nice, smiling man who was literally lying to them by just not stating all the truth. And so now anybody who is fighting against this is being called an extremist, and saying that they are out of date, that no longer is this plan in place. That is just simply not true. So that's where it stands right now. They intend to move forward. We are working to... One of the things we discovered this week, which had not been discussed before, and we didn't know it, was that the 11 counties in this area are part of a National Heritage Site. And I think it's called the Coal Miners National Heritage Site or something like that. And because it's a national heritage site, That's what gives the Park Service the power to do what they're doing. And so that's a new avenue that we can take to fight it. We're working now to get legal action to at least get an injunction to slow this thing down so we have some more time to fight it, but that's where it stands right now.
Thank you, sir. And with the Quakers, are you familiar with that case at all?
I'm not. You're not talking about the Darby situation, are you?
Yes, I am. Darby River, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, okay. Yeah, they actually, with all the protests and with everything that took place there, and the people on the Darby fought the fight brilliantly. They did everything right, and the government did officially back off. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to come back from some other angle, but in that particular effort, the government officially backed off.
Okay, fine. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Bart.
Thank you.
And let's go to Jeanette calling from Watsonville, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY out across America. That's 888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest, Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center. Hi, Jeanette. How are you doing?
Fine. How about you?
Doing great.
Good. I just want to tell you about our Watsonville City Council members. Tuesday night, they voted an ordinance telling liquor store owners and I guess grocery store too, anybody who sells liquor, what kind of liquor that they cannot sell. And I know some business people in town, of course, who will be affected by this. And yet, if you go over the city line over to the county, you don't have a problem. You could buy whatever you want. So here we are with people finding an issue, and like the food, and gaining control. And to me, that's going to be one step leading to another.
One step after another. Isn't that just what they do, Tom? They never take a step back, or if they do, it's only a small one so they can take a bigger step forward.
Right, and that's what they did with this. You know, supposedly they compromised with this alcohol ordinance. Of the seven members, one member was absent from the meeting Tuesday, and only one member voted against this ordinance.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. Is that anything else you wanted to say?
No, I just, you know, to tell people to beware, because once they get their foot in the door, they'll just keep right on taking, and they'll begin, you know, like apparently there's a big alcohol problem, people, you know, drunken driving and all, so they use that as an issue to gain control.
Right, well, what was it that Tom Paine said? He said that all societies are good, but government, even at its best, is a necessary evil. Thanks
right.
so much.
And also in the county, we have our government now running the SPCA.
All right.
So, okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tom. Well, I'm sure that this is happening all across America, and it always seems that people really aren't concerned until their ox gets gored. And then they're indignant. How could this happen?
Yeah, and then they look to organize to fight back, and then they find out it's too late. All this stuff is already in place. And, you know, you yourself, I have been working, several other people we work with, for years trying to set out this warning. And people just look at it, and of course the word extremist is used all the time. I don't care. These are the facts, and all we can do is just get it out, and people can either take it or not. But eventually, one of the interesting things that's happening is that we're getting so many victims of this stuff now. The people who used to scoff at it suddenly are becoming some of our greatest allies, and our troops are growing. So maybe there's some hope in that.
Well, I think that there's always hope. As long as we can have a voice, and we know that there's an awful lot of good people out there, it's just that they've forgotten the vision of freedom and forgotten what freedom's all about. Well, now, of course, you do a lot of mass mailings. You do put out a great deal of great information. What can you suggest to our listeners? Let's imagine we have somebody out here, and they really believe there's a problem. What should they do?
Well, there's no better thing to do than keep pressure on your congressman. You know, I know it seems futile, and sometimes I feel that way, but they get by with these things because the American people aren't speaking out and because the Congress is absolutely under siege from highly paid lobbyists, particularly the environmental industry. It's got a $1 billion industry going on, and that's who they hear. They're putting money into their campaigns. They're whining them, they're dining them, and they're putting a whole lot of pressure on. They have a very velvet glove over a steel fist if they don't do the right thing. And here we are on our side, a lot of mom-and-pop organizations that are just concerned about what's going on, and it's easy to ignore us. And the best way to change that is to constantly be pounding, attend every meeting, get the facts, bring those facts to the meeting, spread them out. Maybe they won't listen to you at the table, but if you spread that information out among the crowd, they're very concerned about you when you do that, so do it.
Who is financing the environmental movement? That is the $64,000 question.
Their money comes from so many different directions, it's mind-boggling. They work directly with the federal government, the Nature Conservancy, which has over $1 billion in assets. I hear so many people say, I believe in the Nature Conservancy because they're a private organization and they use private money to buy up land and preserve things for nature preserves and so forth. Bull. That is just not so. The Nature Conservancy will go in once the government has said they're going to condemn property. They'll go in and talk to the landowners and say, well, the land's been condemned, but we can keep it in private hands if we buy it from you. But by the way, since it's been condemned, it's only worth 50 cents on the dollar. So here's that. They turn right around and go right straight back to the federal government and they say, okay, we got the land. You'll buy it back from us at full dollar, right? Plus our legal fees. And that's how they get their money. They're always trading land back and forth with the federal government. The Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Pew Charitable Trust, the list just goes on and on of the massive amounts of money that goes into the environmental movement. And there is a thing, a very not organized, unofficial group of people called the Environmental Grantmakers Association that all of these big foundations are part of, and they meet and they decide what they want the agenda to be, and then they'll put $1 million into this organization or that organization to get what they want. So it just comes all the way around. And there's one other thing, Stan, that really bothers me, is people who are supposedly good conservatives, conservative foundations, big money conservative donors who are giving money to these organizations, not understanding that they are financing the doom of the very dream that they profess to have, and that's limited government.
Well, there's no question at all about that, and it's so important that people understand that the Ford, Carnegie, Rockefeller, Pew, all these other foundations are financing these organizations aimed at increasing government control over our lives and taking away our property. And this is the old Marxist concept, but you go back and see what they've been financing since all of the 20th century, almost all of the 20th century. They've always financed Marxism and the various communist projects, and you have to ask yourself why. Well, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will decide you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day and give people like Tom DeWeese a voice so that you can hear what he has to say and know about his organization. And we have to network with the various organizations that are doing the same things that we are. Now, when you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you get our 4 best tapes of the month, you get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you're helping us do what we do. And that is 5 hours a day, reach out across America. We've already done one other radio program today besides my 5 hours. We will, of course, on the weekend have our programs. And incidentally, we have raised the funds for our syndicated Saturday program. We're hoping that will have an impact. We're still in the process of raising funds to be on 17 new stations in the Midwest that will pretty well blanket one of the states there. And we're hopefully very soon we'll have sufficient funds to do that. And so if you'd like to help us, remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we want to thank so many of you out there who've been so generous in pledging for a six-month period to help us doing what we're doing. It really does help and certainly is encouraging to myself and my family and our staff. And then, of course, we want to remind you about our website. It's RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. We ask you to tell others about that. Go there. You can hear our radio programs. You can pull down our letters. And we give you our permission to copy anything that's there. And again, I say our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is at war today. Our future, our freedom, our families are under attack today.
Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-Based Education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hofker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment in the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Outcome-Based Education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we had Scott calling in from Hollister, but we seem to have lost him. If you'd like to call back again, of course, we'll put him right on. Or if you're out there across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, that's 464-8295. Our guest this afternoon is Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center. We're talking about sustainable development, about the fact that they were trying to sneak through some legislation back there in Washington, D.C. In the name of planning, but, you know, really, they just wanted to sort of clarify what planning was all about. What they really wanted is a national, centralized planning so that they will be able to regulate what is done in every community. Well, let's see who we have on the line here. Hi, is that you, Scott?
Yes, it is, Dr. Stan. I have my radio, my cell phone kicked off on me to go.
Okay, a question or comment?
A quick comment, and then a quick. I'll take my answer off the air. I'm an electrician. I work up in the San Jose area, and we did the new crate and barrel across from the Valley Fair. And I didn't even realize that the whole project behind us, until you made that comment, was I guess an Agenda 21 living quarters where they have the businesses and the living quarters above that they were building.
That's really an amazing thing, right? And we'll talk about that. Anything else you want to say?
I want to ask your guest one quick question. The assembly bill that's on the fast track that will affect the SUVs and pickups and the future sales and the gas taxes they're trying to get, is this tied into Agenda 21 or sustainable development? And I'll take my answer off the air, sir.
Thank you so much. Right, go ahead.
It's any efforts that can be made to stop the use of gasoline to damage the freedom that we have with buying our own automobiles, what we choose on the open market, is definitely part of this. You would have to connect some certain dots to make that case directly, but it is definitely part of the mindset moving towards sustainable development.
Well, Scott was talking about these developments over in San Jose, and they're right off the major thoroughfare. They are these multi-story buildings, and they're going up all along the edge of the main road. And of course, the upper levels are for living, and then the area just above the lower level is for working, and then the lowest level is for buying. And so you'll be able to actually live in there, you'll be able to work there, you'll be able to purchase everything you need right there. And these are so-called sustainable communities, sustainable housing developments. What's this all about?
Well, this is right out of the HUD report from 1996 that was introduced in Istanbul, Turkey, at the housing conference that the UN put on there, and it describes exactly that kind of a living environment. The whole issue of smart growth, which we call no growth, where you have basically the boundaries of your community, and there is no suburban development outside of that. What they have to do is move up, and eventually, what they have in mind is that we're living in very tall, high-rise buildings, and just really crowded areas with no yards. Well, we have a little green space in the park where you can go and sit under a tree, but everybody is close to some sort of rail service or public transportation, get rid of the cars. That is what we've been talking about, and there it is now in brick and mortar, and that will begin to grow. And you know, every year we have a new crop of high school graduates and college graduates who are now ready to start their own life and get married and have a family, and the population grows, and, you know, where are they going to go with these programs that are literally shutting off any ability to move outside of the boundaries of the established communities? These people cannot have the dream of an American home, or living with their own yard and having a swing in the yard and so forth. All of this is going to be controlled through these kind of communities, and take a good look at it, because that's what they have in mind for all of us to live in.
And what I think, Tom, most people have difficulty realizing is there is a master plan. This is all planned out by these elitists. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know. And of course, they really don't want people living in rural areas. They don't want them to have an acre or 2 acres of land around them. They wanted to return all that to the wilderness areas, and they want to have everybody in these sustainable communities where they can watch them, where they can control them. Everybody will be watched constantly. In fact, we here in the name of fighting terrorism, we're going to have a neighborhood watch organization on every corner, and you will report anything that is suspicious, just like they do in communist China and communist Vietnam and communist Cuba. But people can't understand that that's there and that's here, and that we could never lose our freedom.
We have just bookshelves full of these documents here, and I know you do too, of all these plans. And these are government documents. The document that I've got on the Istanbul conference, the HUD document, is literally the draft document. It wasn't even the published document. It was what was typed up on the typewriter of the guy who wrote it, and his name's right on it. You can call him up and talk to him about it. He's very proud of it. But this literally is official government policy on how our communities should be developed and how they believe you and I should live. The heck with what you and I want. This is what they want for us.
And everything is planning. Everything is the elite knowing what's best for us common folks. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it is. They make these plans. This is what's good for you. It starts in the UN. The arrogance of the delegates of other countries in the UN and UN officials is beyond belief. But the arrogance of right here in this country, of people who are on these planning boards, I witnessed this again in Hinton, West Virginia, where they had a meeting of the Parkway Board, and this was supposedly so people could air questions and discuss things. Members of this board sat at that table. People were literally shouting because they were so angry with what was happening. They were asking for answers. They sat there. They looked straight at them, did not respond to them, and when everybody was done with what they had to say, then they adjourned the meeting and put it down as, well, we had a public meeting on this. That is utter arrogance. That is a situation where the plan is already in place. They don't care what you have to say about it. They're going to do what they have to do. They don't respond to you, so that they don't give you any ammunition. Just get through it, get out of it, get on with it, and the heck with those people.
And, of course, what the people don't understand is that usually the media will go along with them, you know, and, of course, they have a great deal of money behind them, coming in from all sorts of sources so that they can get their people elected to public office. They can get the poll watchers out there. They can get the people working in the precincts. They can get the unions behind them. And they will carry out their agenda, even though the majority of the people don't want it, because the people aren't organized, but the people on the other side, the planners and the people who are financing this whole thing, have the wealth of the world behind them.
This is what they do for a living. And the rest of us have to, you know, go off and earn money. And these guys, this is what they get to do all day long. Incredibly, the Pew Charitable Trust has set up grants for newspapers for them to, if the newspaper will publish articles that Pew Charitable Trust wants written in the way they want them written, they give grants to the newspapers. This now means that Pew Charitable Trust is buying the newspapers across this country to print their version of events And do you think they're going to come out and print our version of it at the same time? I don't have a grant to give to them.
Well, this is just like it was back in 1917 when J.P. Morgan and his friends went out and bought the editorial policies of the 25 major papers in America and then used them to propagandize the American people to be willing to do the most stupid thing in the world. And that was to enter First World War. No reason for it at all. Why should we send our boys over to fight this stupid European war? But they were able to convince the majority of the American people because they told they control the media. And they do that here in this country today. I didn't know, though, they were actually paying for these articles.
Yes, this was a report we got a couple years ago. Pew Charitable Trust is setting up these things, all very innocently sounding, of course, but they get them to publish these articles and they give the paper a grant for it. So there goes your reasoning about what happens in the newspapers.
So much for freedom of the press. Well,
yeah.
Freedom of the press means that if you own the press, you can print whatever you want to. Well, right now, of course, what are your parting thoughts? We're just about out of time, Tom.
Well, as I started out, this issue of sustainable development, everyone must understand what this is, because there can be no freedom, there can be no free enterprise, no private property in this country with this policy in place. There's no compromise on that. It's got to be ripped out from the roots.
I agree with you totally. Thank you so much, and thank you so much for everything you do.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, Tom DeWeese is on the front lines of this battle, and certainly his organization is well worth your support, and we certainly support them, and we get their material. So again, we'll give their telephone number. It's 540-341-8911. Our guest has been Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center, and of course, their website is just www.americanpolicy.org. So, well, this is the time, of course, when we have to ask you to pray for our country. Our country is in real trouble because the people have lost their vision. We hear that the courts have said, the Ninth Circuit Court has said, that we've got to take one nation under God part out of our Pledge of Allegiance. But we took God out of America a long time ago. The God that is being worshipped here is not the God of the Bible. He's a new type of God. He's a God who loves everybody and never punishes anybody, and not the God who created the heaven and the earth. He's just sort of like a big Santa Claus, just loves everybody and wants to give everybody everything. That's not a God you worship, or a holy God. That's a God, a new God, that's been created for America and for the world. And so, of course, we ask you to pray not to this contemporary God, but the God of the Bible. We ask you to pray for our ministers. We ask you to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for revival in America, because if American people don't turn back to God, God is going to turn his back on this country forever. And lastly, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for my family, for my staff, and for me as well, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.